If you'll turn your Bibles to 2 John, and there's only one chapter, so 2 John. Now, last week we saw that John was writing a letter to the elect lady and her children. He did not use her name, and we discovered it was because he did not want her to be known and go through the persecution that the Christian church at that time was going through. I've shared with you that our country is not immune for the church to go through persecution. There's, even now, if you want to take a look at it, the way the auditorium is set up, this is a form that we have been classified here in California as non-essential. And to me, I don't think that we're non-essential. I think that we're essential. And after seeing people who are used to being around Christians and gathering their strength from other Christians and fellowshipping with Christians, pulling away by mandated that you can't meet, and seeing what's happened to some of these people, I think we're more essential today than we ever have been in the history of the United States of America. Just because we live in this great land doesn't mean that we are immune to persecution. When we are classified unessential and a strip club is classified essential because they're serving food, I think it's time that we open our eyes up and see that there's things coming against the church that we possibly never even imagined would be coming against the church. So we need to be faithful. We need to be strong. We need to not get to a point that we would let fear rule our lives and compromise the Word of God and the things that God has called us to. I've had people say, well, Pete, you're disobeying the law. Well, first of all, it's not the law that has been established. It's just a mandate. And second of all, I look at Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5, where they were told not to teach in this name of Jesus. And Peter and John said, should we hearken unto you or hearken unto God? We're going to follow what God tells us to do, not what man tells us to do. And so we as a church are meeting together because we want to let the world know that we are essential and that we're here for them. Whenever they have a need, we are here for them. And so they were going through persecution, but we also learned that John wrote more about love than any of the other writers in the New Testament, but he also wrote more about truth than any other writer in the New Testament. And at the end of verse 3, we saw last week, there was two words connected that are vitally important. And those two words are truth and love. I'm not counting the word and. Truth, love. Truth and love combined together. This is a very important aspect of our Christian living. We see that according to Ephesians 5, we looked at this last week, chapter 4, verse 15, not Ephesians 5. Ephesians 4, 15, that it showed us that we need to be speaking truth in love. And that's so important that we know and understand that we need to speak the truth, but we need to do it in love. If we just love people who are living in sin, unfortunately, they may think that because you love them, you accept their sin, and they're not bad then. They're not living a sinful life because you're still loving them. But if we speak the truth with love, then they're going to see that we're sincere and that we do love them. But if we just speak the truth without love, it's like being a Holy Spirit steamroller. You flatten them and they don't want anything to do with God or you or anything else. You're just there to smack them upside the head spiritually. And that's why it's so critical that we have truth and love combined together. And that we need to be able to live that out. But how do we live that out? Well, today's title of my message is, what is walking in truth? What is walking in truth? This is very important and a very practical concept, and something that we need to live our lives in our Christian faith. And it must be something that's just natural to us, not something that's we have to, you know, work up. It should just be a natural thing that we want to walk with truth and with love. What I'd like to do this morning is to go ahead and read verses 1 through 3 that we studied last week and just slide right into verses 4 through 6 that we'll be looking at today. So why don't we all stand up, and I'll read this, but that way you get to have a little stretching as I read, starting in verse 1. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but all those who have known the truth, because the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace and mercy and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. And this is our text. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we receive commandments from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I write a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. You can sit down now if you like, or you can stand up the whole service. That's fine. We see that in the Greek, walking in love, in the Greek it means to obey truth, but listen to the second part of the definition, to permit truth to control every area of our lives. To permit truth to rule over every aspect of our lives. You see, it's so easy to let our feelings rule our lives. It's so easy to let other emotions rule our lives. But what we need to do is to allow truth to rule over our lives. Not just rule over our lives, but as John, as we read through, I hope that you noticed that, it says that he is really emphasizing the importance of obedience to the truth. In other words, as James says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. You know, if you really stop and think about it for just a second, you might realize it's much easier to study about truth than sometimes living that truth. Or even to argue about truth than to practice that truth. It's so critical important that we know that more than just those two, about studying or debating about truth, that we would actually allow it to be part of our lives in our actions of what we're doing. You see, sometimes in a Christian zealousness, we can disobey the truth when we're sharing God's word. Because at times we do not want to offend somebody or hurt their feelings. What we do is we don't speak truth because we love them and we don't want to push them away from God. But without realizing it, we're not even sharing the truth. Or the truth becomes secondary, or the truth becomes avoided, because feelings become the primary issue in your relationship with that person instead of the truth being the primary issue that should be with that relationship. But yet, when you stop and really think about it for a moment, let's think about what Jesus said when he was departing in the last words. We refer to it as the Great Commission. And unfortunately, too many Christians think the Great Commission is for ministers. But that's not true. The Great Commission is for every person that calls themselves a Christian. This is what we are supposed to do. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified. There were some people that were standing around talking, his disciples, and Jesus came up to them and said to them, "All authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." Listen to what it says. "Help the people to learn of me." Help the people to learn of me. "Believe in me," and here you go, "and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." There's the Trinity. "Teaching them to observe," that's obey, "everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstances, and on every occasion, even to the end of the age." So we see that he's telling them, help the people to learn of me. That's your job. Help them, teach them the truth about me. That's so important that you do that. And then teach them to obey that truth. And yet so often, we compromise because we're afraid that the truth might hurt their feelings. And we never want to hurt anybody's feelings. So we don't tell them the truth. We're just going to love on them. And yet, that causes them to justify that they're doing fine because you love them and the truth hasn't been brought to them. And it just makes them feel that they're okay in the eyes of God. But folks, they're not. And we need to tell them the truth about it. And then we love them afterwards. And I guarantee you, they'll respect you more for that than if you just love on them. Because what's going to take place is maybe one day they'll find out the truth. And they'll go, "Why didn't that person share that with me? And they said that they were a Christian." So the way to do that is for us, first of all, to obey the word of God. Then in love, you share the truth with those people because now you become that example of living a life. You're walking in truth. They see that truth in your life, and then you love on them and share that truth with them. When they see you holding to truth and yet still loving on them, when they're not holding on to the truth, they don't want to live in the truth. That becomes powerful because they see that it's your rock, that you're steady, you're rooted, you're grounded, and that you can also still love them, and that you can have that peace that surpasses all understanding that'll keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, and they don't have that. But they desperately desire to have that, yet they don't have it. And that's powerful when people look at you and they see that you're not tossed to and fro. Your course is set and you're walking that course. You're enjoying life. You have the joy of the Lord. You have peace. You have everything that they desire. And then what takes place? They begin to say, "They have all that and I want that. How do I get that?" And because you've shared with them the truth, they begin to surrender to that. But it's important that we live that way in our lives. So when we live that way in our lives, that brings great joy into our life that other people will see, like I mentioned. Here in verse 4 in our text, what does it say? Paul says, "I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we receive the commandment from the Father." Now, let me clarify this. This does not mean that the elect lady had some children that were not walking in truth. It doesn't mean that. You know, you could assume that, but it's not saying that. What it's saying is, "I rejoice that some of your kids that maybe in his travels he's met them, he's seen them, he got to know them, he sees that they're walking in truth." It could be that simple. And he's bringing that out. "I'm rejoicing that I see them walking in truth." And I don't know about you, but when I see people walking in truth, As a pastor, it brings me great joy when I see people saying, this is the word, and in love I'm going to walk this word, and I'm going to obey this word, and I'm going to follow this word. And I'm not going to let my feelings rule my life. I'm going to let the word of God direct me. And it just brings me great, great joy when I see that. But at the same time, my heart grows heavy when I see people who know the word of God, who know the truth, and they're putting that aside and they're not walking in the truth because they've chose to go another path. And unfortunately, there have been some people that, because of the COVID situation, have just isolated themselves, but they don't realize that they pulled away and they're not walking in truth. And I'm not saying people who are watching are those people. I'm saying that there are some people that don't watch anymore, that don't have anything to do with fellowship anymore, but they'll go out and they'll do all these other things, but they're not walking with the Lord anymore. And it's just unfortunate to see that taking place, because God wants the very best for us. And the very best for us is found in the Word of God, found in His truth, and we get to experience it and walk in it. And parents, this, and grandparents, this is very important, that you make sure that you're a model in your home and even outside your home, and that you're walking with integrity and you're not compromising the truth for your children's sake and for your grandchildren's sake. And what you need to realize is they're watching you. They're watching you and seeing if you are holding to the truth or if you're compromising on the truth. Do you realize that if you do not show in your personal life, parents or grandparents, the importance of the Word of God, your kids will grow up not having a desire to think that the Word of God is important in their life, or a desire to go after what the Word tells us and how we should live our life, because they've seen that you don't look at it as a very important part of your life? Do you realize that if you don't take prayer seriously, that your kids aren't going to take prayer seriously because they see that it's not important to you? You know, one of the exciting things that I'm seeing that I'm just thrilled to death about, and it came about because of COVID, that I'm seeing little pockets of prayer groups gathering in our church. And by the way, today, after church, we're going to have an hour of prayer. So as soon as church is over with and you go get your morning vision, that's coffee from the cafe, you come back in the sanctuary, we're going to have an hour of prayer, just laying our hearts before the Lord for the nation, for our loved ones, for the people who are sick, whatever it might be, whatever the Lord puts on our hearts, we're just going to pray for an hour and have a sweet time. But I'm seeing other pockets of prayer, you know, one starting on Sunday nights where people are coming. One, or they're even Zooming it, and another one on Tuesday nights, and they're just growing, and it just blesses my heart, and I hope that you're taking advantage of those, and that you're going to be participating in that, and your kids will see that in you, and they'll go, wow, for mom and dad, prayer's important, for grandma and grandpa, prayer's important, and prayer needs to be important for me, too. Because if it's not important for you, it's not going to be important for them. They need to see in you the importance of fellowship. Because if fellowship is not important to you, it won't be important to them. And we don't want to raise the next generation with taking the solid things that are found in the Word of God and not living them and obeying what the Word says about them and allowing them to go to the wayside. Because the next generation coming up are going to see that that's falling to the wayside as well. I've asked Devin to really reach out to all of you folks who feel that the Lord has been calling you to get involved in Sunday school and to teach Sunday school, because I want to see Sunday school start up again. And we can do it safely, and we will do it safely. But my heart breaks for a lot of the kids that are not getting into Sunday school because they're not able to come because parents just don't feel comfortable with them sitting. Look at these darlings over here. Look at how, and over here, over there. These kids are obedient. These kids are great. Let's give it to the kids. Amen. You guys are awesome. Oh boy, they're awesome. They sit there and they have their nursery little or their Sunday school packets, and you know, they spread all out. They can lay on the floor and color. They can do whatever they want to do. But they're quiet, almost quiet as church mice. And I don't know how quiet a church mouse is, but I hear they're pretty quiet. You guys are awesome. I'm so proud of you. I'm proud of you parents that bring your kids and grandkids. It's amazing. And you know what? Fellowship is amazing. And I want to see our Sunday school back and running. And I'm blessed by those who are putting the videos up for them to watch on Sunday morning as well. But it's just not quite the same. And so if the Lord's been moving on your heart, Devin's right back. Matter of fact, Devin, stand up so people can see. Stand up. You are going to stand up and obey. That a girl. Everyone turn around and look. That's Devin. And her husband will be coming home soon. Yeah. They're pray because there might be a little delay because there was a COVID breakout in the academy that he's at, but they're working themselves through that. So go see Devin and tell her, I want to help with Sunday school. I want to help with Sunday school. And she'll be blessed. You'll see a giant smile on her face. Make sure the things of God are important to you. Because if they're not important to you, they're not going to be important to your kids. Don't ever forget that. Would you please remember that? They need to see that consistency in your life and the love for God. What is that saying? You don't have to go to church. You what? You get to go to church. It's a privilege to come to church. It's a joy to come to church and be together with the brothers and sisters and rejoice and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Amen? Amen. It's a wonderful, wonderful time. Now, we don't want our kids to look at this as legalistic. You know, the Word of God, you have to do the Word of God. You know, you have to pray. You have to go to church. No, we want them to see we love doing it. It's part of our DNA spiritually. We want to do this. We just enjoy doing it. It's just part of what we are. And as we do that, we will find that it's not legalistic. It's a love towards God that we do this, and that your kids will have that example, and God will be well pleased with you on that. So, where do we find out how to do the Word of God? Where do we find out the truth? Well, did you notice that when we read through verses 4 through 6, the word commandment or commandments? Let's read that again. In verses 4 through 6, it says, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of their children walking in truth as they have received the commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I write a new commandment to you, but that which you had from the beginning, that we love one another, and this love, that we walk according to His, God's, commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. He uses the word commandment or commandments four times in these verses. When you really look at it, you're going to notice that God's commandments focus, as you read through the scripture, on truth in certain areas of our lives. And they are based on specific truths, and they're binding. Some Christians live their Christian life with the commandments as they live it. They take it as if it's a suggestion from God. I'm suggesting that you do this. No, it's a commandment. It's a truth. And the reason that the commandment is there to give you the best spiritual benefit and blessings that your life could have in Him. We see that according to 1 John. 1 John in chapter 5, verse 3, where it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome or grievous or not difficult." The Amplified says this, "For the true love of God is this, that we habitually," that's a habit, "keep his commandments and remain focused on his precepts." Focused on his precepts. "And his commandments and his precepts are not difficult to obey." You know what? God's commandments, they simply reveal the heart of God to each and every one of us. And if we look close at each and every one of us, each and every one of them, we see that it has blessings there for each and every one of us. And what they're going to do is fill our hearts with joy. I don't know about you, but I want my heart to be filled with joy. How about you guys? If we want our hearts to be filled with joy, then what do? We become a doer of the Word of God. We follow the commandments. We follow after what God is saying to us. And I think that's so very important that we take a look at that. Now, there are times that we live our lives and we feel like we're out of whack with the Lord. Have you ever felt that? You're out of whack. You're out of sync. And I don't know if God's listening to me right now, or I haven't heard God speak to me right now. I feel so far away from God right now. Anybody ever feel that way, or am I the only strange person in here? You know, I feel that way at times. And when I do, I need to go back and I need to take a look at myself. I need to take a look at myself and see if I'm following the Word of God the way the Word of God has been laid out, the way the truth has been laid out. Am I following it? Am I being a doer of the Word of God? Or am I just going through the mechanics of it? Am I really working on falling in love with Jesus more and more each and every day? It's so important that when we feel that we're out of whack with God, it's typically because we're not doing something of God's Word. And God just wants to get our attention. So that's what I love about David, and we can have that same prayer. Lord, search my heart. Know my ways. If there be any wicked way, if there's anything that I'm lacking in my life right now, show it to me. Show me what it is. And then lead me to the path of everlasting. And so that's what we need to do. Lord, why do I feel out of whack? And then he'll show you something. And then you just go to 1 John 1:9. You know that verse by heart by now. If we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then you just pick it up from there. You don't have to, you know, wait, well, I've been such a sinner, I'll pray and repent, and then tomorrow I'll start fresh. No, repent right there and start fresh, right on the spot, and you're going to be fine. And you'll notice that you're not going to be out of whack anymore. Now, as I'm about to close off, and I want you to notice how I selected that word on purpose, as I'm about to close off, which means I still have lots more. But I'm about to close off. I want to make sure that you clearly see the three themes that John has been presenting in these three verses today. These three blend together, one with another, as we walk in the Spirit and truth. And that is, the three themes are truth, love, and obedience. Truth, love, and obedience. It is by believing the truth about Christ that's in the Word of God that leads us to salvation and eternal life by his grace. The evidence of that salvation, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, is love. For this is the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, and then it goes on and says and produces all these other things. So we see that there's believing the truth, there's love, and there's also the third one, obedience. But know this, love and obedience are strengthened and grow in our lives when we grow in the knowledge of truth. In other words, the more truth you learn, the more you're going to love God, and the more you're going to desire to want to obey him. So what do? We simply do this. We speak the truth in love according to Ephesians 4:15. We obey God's commandments because we love him. We're obedient and enables us to learn more about the truth. And the more truth we learn, the more we love Jesus, who is the truth. Now, I want to close off by leaving you with this one verse that's not in John. And it's the final verse for today, and it's found in 2 Timothy 2:15. And this is what it says. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Are you in the word of God? Because you cannot divide the word of truth unless you're in the word of God. Amen? Amen? You cannot divide the word of God unless you're in the word of God. Amen?
Amen?
That's a little better, not all the way, but a little better. We need to be in the word of God. My prayer for you is that you're in a reading program this year to take you through the Bible. If you're not in one, my question for you is, why aren't you in one? Now, there's all kinds of them out there. I don't care which one you get, as long as it's a Christian one. Get an app, if you want, that has the Bible already there. What I like to do, personally, I have different apps on the Bible, but on this particular one, I like to listen to it and read it at the same time. And it highlights it as it's going down, verse by verse. So I get to hear it, and I get to see it. Why do I do that? Because I'm one of those guys that go, squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. I can get so distracted, and my mind can lose focus easily if I'm just listening. So if I listen and I discipline myself to watch it, then I get it, and I'm able to do that. So start in Genesis 1:1. Well, it's already the 17th. I've missed out so much. No, start today. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. I started in Genesis, and I'm just having a wonderful time just sitting there and looking at the verses, listening to them being read to me. It's even got a little bit of a drama to it. And it's just a special, special time between me and the Lord, or the Lord and I should say. Sorry, Stephanie. She's an English teacher. And you need to be doing that. Be in the Word of God. Get an app. Go through it. Start today. And I pray that's your desire, that this year that you will learn more of the truth, and that the truth that you already know would be refreshed as you go through it, and then you would live by it, each and every one of them, remembering that they're not a suggestion, the Word of God. It's direction to bring us to spiritual prosperity. If you do not remember anything more in this study, but you apply yourself and you go get an app today and you start listening and reading the Word of God and purpose in your heart to say, I'm going to be a doer to those things that God shows me I'm not doing right, then you've learned a lot today and for the whole year. Don't promise me you're going to do that. Promise yourself. Promise the Lord. I'm going to get into a reading program, and I'm going to read through the scriptures for the truth that I can find in those. So remember, truth and love, obey, and you're going to be fine. These work wonderfully together. When you take the truth, and because you found out the truth, you love God for that, you desire to obey, then guess what's going to happen? That's going to bring you into a cycle of growth. You're just going to continue to grow and grow and grow and grow. If you don't, you're going to end up spiraling down and down and down and down and not even know that it's happening. You're going to end up like that proverbial frog that was put into a pot of cold water, And then the stove was, or the oven was, the stove was turned on, and it slowly started getting warmer and warmer and warmer, and the frog was just having fun in the water, never realizing that he was being cooked for dinner, because he didn't realize it was getting hotter and hotter. When you start neglecting, you're starting to spiral down. When you're neglecting the truth, when you're neglecting to, well, that's not that important of a thing that I need to do, you're starting to spiral down. And pretty soon you're going to be in the mire and you're going to be stuck. And you're going to wonder, what happened to me? Maybe you feel that way today. All you have to do is ask God to forgive you, and He will restore you and put you back on a solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Because none of us want to spiral downhill and get stuck, do we? What? Let's try that one last time, because we're ready to close off. If not, I'm just going to stay here and keep asking you. Do any of us want to spiral down and get stuck in the mud and get spiritually just run over? Do we?
No.
Amen. Preach it. You preach it back there, young man. So remember, truth, love, and obedience, and you're going to be fine.